I am so excited for our next guest. He is the Milwaukee historian, John Gerda.
You've done a lot of interviews over the years. I've had some real clunkers. Has there ever been one where you were just like, this did not turn out like I hoped that it would?
And there's kind of a lull in the conversation, and he's nodding, and he fell asleep. And boy, the only did I feel stimulating.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, Amory, Ridgeland Center, Waukesha, everyone streaming, everyone on the app, and everyone listening to the podcast later. We are back.
Yes, we are.
So for anyone who makes it, thank you to anyone who is a regular listener to this broadcast. And you know, you were not suffering from deja vu last Tuesday through Friday. Those were reruns because, unfortunately, the COVID wiped Jane and I out.
Escaped it all this time.
I know. It was, Jane, if you were watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, you might notice that Danger Lady Jane is still masked up because you're feeling better.
Much better.
But you're isolated in your producer booth with your mask on because you're still positive.
I tested twice today. I tested once this morning. You know, you could order those at-home tests a few months back. So, and I double-checked the expiration date. And when it came up positive this morning, I thought, it's an old test. It's got to be wrong. So I came out, did some news, got that done, went to Walgreens, picked up some more tests with my mask on. Came back and tested again, and yes, I am still positive.
But you're feeling better.
I'm feeling so much better. I just think it's my naturally positive outlook on life, Kristen.
I think that's true. I think that's why. And I'm the cynic, which is why I tested negative yesterday. That's clearly the swapped roles that
we're obviously.
And so, but yeah, so sorry for the late notice. Sorry if you felt like we were tricking you. I did not have the energy to even social media at all last week. I was a zombie, and I finally started to feel better midday Friday, stayed home all weekend, and now I'm starting to feel back to normal. But that's what happens. Life happens sometimes. And so we're back. We're starting to feel better. We have a great show today. We have a great show. This show is set up for this week.
We do.
Happy Monday and happy Hanukkah for everyone who celebrates.
Right.
It started last night, the 8-day Jewish Festival of Lights, and it ends on December 26th. I think we'll talk more about that tomorrow. And also on Wednesday, we're talking to someone from the Milwaukee Jewish Federation to talk about the Light the Hone project they're doing and anti-Semitism awareness and the Holocaust and a bunch of things that feels very timely to coincide with Hanukkah this week. And we're back today, but we also, starting at 12, will cut to a live broadcast of the final January 6th hearings. And so you can look forward to that if you are want to hear it and you're in your car. And we will air that the whole thing.
Yep.
And if they end it before our show is over, campaign strategist, Democratic campaign extraordinaire Joe Sopecki is going to join us as soon as the hearing is over to break down not only what they say today, but also what has this been? 7 months, 8 months? When the first one happened in May?
Gosh, it's so long ago. It might have been in spring.
I think it was in spring when the first one that was in primetime. And so this has been months. And now that as far as we know, this is the final one. What does it all mean? And especially coming out of the midterms are over, you know, the red wave that wasn't, but there are obviously the House is being taken over by the Republicans, and what they're going to start to investigate being Hunter Biden and whatever their agenda and priorities are. But what does this actually mean now that the House committee is coming to an end, and where do we go from here? So Joe Sobecki is going to join us, unless the hearing goes until 2, and then we'll get handed over to either Luke and Brian.
Yep.
On Dueling Tangents, and they'll talk you through it. Otherwise, Chad Holmes up in Wausau. And so at 12, we're going to cut to that. But ahead of time, we're still got this full hour, because there was a lot of headlines that we missed. And so I'm excited to dive into all of them. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the World Cup, because that was a storybook ending.
What a game.
Sheesh. And so we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. And then other headlines at 11:30 that caught my eye. But I think just to spend a couple minutes kind of even trying to refresh myself on, like, what's going to happen today with the January 6th thing. So it's the final hearing today, and the panel, as far as I understand, is expected to make referrals for a number of individuals that they allege have committed crimes during the 2021 storming of the Capitol. And so, but a reminder that all of their referrals are non-binding, and so they carry no legal weight, but instead act as a recommendation from the panel to the Justice Department. And it's up to them and Merrick Garland if they're going to take any further action.
Right.
And so the report so far suggests that the panel is going to vote on issuing a criminal referral for former President Donald Trump, and it's on three different charges: conspiracy, fraud, and insurrection. And so the panel is then also expected to consider charges for other individuals, but I'm not sure that any of those have been identified yet. Do you know of any that have been identified as potential recommended charges to be filed against?
No. All I can think of is we do know the Republicans predominantly who asked for pardons.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't think that we know any recommendations of any other individuals from this committee yet.
Yet. And so, so the panel is going to be disbanded. What we know is that it's at the end of this congressional session, this committee, as it stands today, will be disbanded. And that comes January 2nd. And then special counsel Jack Smith will determine whether he's going to pursue charges or not. And I guess, how do you feel going into this, Jane? Like, do you feel like it's lost steam? I mean, it's also funny because he's always, in the three that have happened since I started this show, they've all happened during my show. So this is not the third time I've been like, oh, I only have to do an hour today because we're doing the live broadcast. And so I'm ready to not get bumped anymore.
Right. I really do think their findings, though, are critical. And isn't the final report, the full final report, going to be issued this week?
I think so.
So,
and I have, because we're going to talk about this again in the last segment before we cut to January 6th, because there's specifically one element of that final report that I find hilarious. So stick around for that joke and query that I've come up with.
Nice tease.
So stick around till the end of the hour. But I totally understand that it is important to hold people accountable, and a lot of the, because we've seen so many of the citizens, the average citizen, who, whether it's Oath Keepers, different people who actually have now been charged with sedition or conspiracy, and a lot of whom, and not that I don't think that it was good to hold them accountable as well, but it also is, if those are the only people who get held accountable in this whole thing, who arguably were just pawns and fell into a bigger narrative, false narrative, that was perpetuated not just by the former guy, but also his minions.
Well, and look at how many members of Congress.
Yeah. And isn't it over the weekend that Marjorie Taylor Greene said if she and Bannon had actually been in charge, they would have actually, it would have been a successful insurrection?
Oh, yeah, because they would have been armed.
I can't believe she said that.
But look at, she's
She gets
rewarded for making comments like this. Because if McCarthy is made speaker, which still seems up in the air to me.
Yeah, I need to catch up on that too.
He's going to appoint her to committees. And so it doesn't seem to matter what outrageous things she says, or sort of like someone else that used to be in office.
Yeah.
There just don't ever seem to be any ramifications for that.
Well, so I do think it's important, even though it feels like this has gone on for so long and people's attention spans are so short. And I think the how is this going to affect the midterms question has been solved because the midterms are over. And
right.
We know how that turned out as far as it was, I think, a check on extremism as far as how many election deniers did lose. But it does feel like it's kind of lost steam, and I don't know what the ratings, not that the ratings matter, but if you think about how many people watched that primetime first one versus seven, eight months later, how many people are going to be tuning in today to see what happens besides just political junkies, will be interesting. But like I said, we're going to talk about this a little bit before it actually starts at 12 p.m., and then if the hearings end while we're still on air, Joe Zepecki will be here to talk us through it. But for now, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the World Cup because it was so awesome. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay tuned.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Well, well, well. So I woke up after a long night's rest because I was recovering from COVID on Saturday. Very excited to watch the final World Cup match after a month of games. And I just feel like yesterday's game was the reason we love sports.
I think you make an excellent point.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I know you're not the biggest sports ball fan. I am a big sports fan. I'm certainly not the biggest sports fan, largely because I have lots of interests, and so going so deep on any one thing is not my forte. But the reason, I just feel like there's a reason why ESPN's, like, 30 for 30s are so successful, those documentaries about different sports stories, because sports just provide these real, like, the storytelling of sports in the true way that they come about, and the, whether it's underdogs, whether it's this, like, storybook ending for Messi, like, and the game itself, and I don't pretend to know the history of the World Cup and how, like, I can't recall which games and the finals and stuff. Like, I was very invested in 2018 because, as I said, I was dating someone who is French, so he was very let down yesterday. I did not check in on him because he is next. But
mon cher.
But before that, I'd watched the games, but it wasn't a high priority. But everything I've read is that this was yesterday one of the best World Cup finals in history.
Just look at the score.
And so you watched.
I did.
You and Paul watched.
Yeah, we did.
So if you didn't watch the game, if you did, the first half felt like, wow, well, crap. Like, Argentina may just walk away with this because they not even going into halftime, up until like 11 minutes left in regulation time, Argentina was up 2-0.
It looked like it was done.
And it seemed like they were going to sail to the title. But then Kylian Mbappe, who I feel like is... If Messi right now is the GOAT, I feel like how young Mbappe is, because I think he's only like 22, like his future could be similar to that of Messi's because he's so good.
Yeah, he was amazing.
So he also won the Golden Boot. So with 11 minutes left in regulation time, Mbappe scored. And then within 2 minutes, France scored again.
It was incredible.
And so all of a sudden they were tied, and it sent things into to extra time. And so then in extra time, Messi scored again, and then Mbappe scored again. And it's the first time in the Men's World Cup that there was a final hat trick since 1966.
Wow, that's crazy.
And then we went to... Maybe, I guess hockey also does
hat tricks.
Not hat tricks, but they do final shootouts. Like, okay. If there's a tie,
shootout. Yep.
So there is something, because like I'm used to the sports I played. There's overtime, and you basically, in basketball, you just keep playing overtime until somebody wins. Football, I feel like every year they change the overtime rules in the NFL, but there's something about overtime in soccer that where it. Goes if it goes past that one overtime or extended time, you then go to penalty kicks. And like the penalty kicks, it's just the fact that one was blocked and the other guy missed it. And so by the time Argentina, who kicked first, got their fourth goal in penalty kicks, it was over. And you know, for Messi, who has always been considered one of the best to ever do it, had not won the World Cup. And so on his last World Cup, he won.
It was
And you just can't... Fiction isn't this good, right? Of how it turned out for him. And I feel like... I think I said in... And it certainly wasn't last week because I was sick. But along this journey of the World Cup, I've said, all right, as soon as the U.S. is out, I'm going to root for the underdogs. And certainly Argentina wasn't the underdog. But it's been so long since they won... And France won last year, every last time.
And France, I think, I'm pretty sure, was favored to win.
I don't
know.
Oh, that game. Well, in the rankings going into the World Cup, Argentina was 3 and France was 4.
Okay.
I think, was England 1?
Could have been.
But certainly I saw on social media, Buenos Aires, like a video from some high rise in Buenos Aires.
Oh, yeah.
After the first goal was scored, and the entire people just, you could hear the collective sound of the capital city of Argentina, just people in their houses roaring of how excited. And that wasn't even the end of the game. That was just the first goal, and just the entire city making noise. It was so cool.
It really was.
And, you know, what's exciting is we only have 213 days until the Women's World Cup. And so that is less than a year away. And obviously, the U.S. women's team is going to be defending their championship. And that's going to be in Australia and New Zealand. And the thing for us is the next men's World Cup in 2026, it's less about how you can watch on TV and more about what game do you want to go to, because it's going to be in North America. Do you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah. So North America being that there's going to be...
Oh, there's going to be a number of
Vancouver
venues.
Vancouver and Toronto.
Right.
Mexico City and maybe one other Mexican city. And then I think there's 9 different cities in the U.S. I think Chicago's on there. I would think. I have to go check that. But 2026, you might be able to go to an actual World Cup game without having to leave the country. So pretty exciting. And it was a great game. It was a great game. Even if you're not a soccer fan, it was what sports stories are made out of. So
happy for Messi.
Me too. All right. Well, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, some other headlines that caught our eye over the weekend. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. To As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to the podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts, Spotify, Apple. And as always, at least for this hour, you can join the conversation. Shoot us a text, give us a call, 844-967-2789. So we missed a lot last week.
We did. There was news last week.
There was news last week. And so I grabbed some of the things, a mix of things that I think were interesting and worth talking about today. Some of the stuff that's a little more evergreen, like nuclear fusion energy.
Who doesn't want to talk about
but
that?
It seems like a very big deal, but is a little beyond my how much I studied science in high school and college. That seems like a very big deal, but I feel like we'll have time to talk more about that. But one of the things that happened on Friday, so this is the final week of the 117th Congress before the next iteration takes over on January 3rd. And they've accomplished a lot in the last 2 years, but they still need to pass a $1.7 trillion bill this week that would fund the government through September. And that's after they had to extend it. And so President Biden last Friday signed a short-term budget deal hammered out by Congress that narrowly avoided a government shutdown. And so who doesn't want to spend the week before Christmas trying to negotiate and pass a bill to keep the government running?
You would think, because we are here every 2 years. We're here.
I know.
We're always here.
We're always here.
It's such a deja vu thing. And you would think, I'm assuming that work had been going on this before this, but you don't know.
Yeah. So we have a week, but it means that the shutdown could come at Christmas.
Which would be terrible.
Which would be terrible. And so I think we'll keep up this week goes on, because this is one of those things that feels probably complicated, but all the different like negotiating things that are happening. I know Ukraine is a big deal. The military aspect of this. So
I thought that was done already.
I think that's done.
They got 858.
Well, they always do.
I mean,
right?
It's like tons of money.
So we'll keep up with that throughout the week as far as if this will be a running or non-running Christmas in D.C. As two animal lovers, Jane, I think you're going to like this story. So this is in New York. They are taking the pet out of pet shops.
Oh.
So last week, New York Governor Kathy Hochul, did I pronounce that right?
I think so.
She signed legislation that bans the sale of dogs, cats, and rabbits in physical pet stores in all New York State. And so they are not the first state to do this. California, Illinois, Maryland, and a handful of other states have been trying to stamp out inhumane pet breeders, which most, if not all, pet stores are usually getting their pets from puppy mills
yes.
and not from, you know, certified, qualified breeders who take care of their dogs and take care of their puppies. But a recent study found that some New York pet stores get pups from breeding facilities that violated a number of USDA regulations. And so this was in an age of partisanship. This was a bipartisan bill in the New York legislature. It was voted on. I don't know if it was unanimous, but it was like, it flew through.
Oh, that's wild.
The legislature.
That never happens anymore.
I know. So they had a lot of bipartisan support. And shockingly, the only pushback they got was from the pet stores themselves, because they said this ban would put them out of business. And my opinion is, if the only way to stay in business is to be in partnership with puppy mills who are violating USDA regulations, maybe you shouldn't be in business.
I don't know this for certain, but I find that really hard to believe, that their fortunes are dependent upon actually selling puppies and kittens and bunnies. What about all the food they sell?
Well,
what about
all the toys? What margins do they have on these puppies?
Right.
That what they're buying them for and what they're selling them for, that's what's keeping the lights on.
I find that really hard to believe.
Yeah. And so, New Yorkers can still, I mean, this is actually doesn't go through, it doesn't actually start until 2024. So it's two more years that these places can stay in business or figure out their business model. But New Yorkers can still, as can we here, adopt animals from shelters or buy directly from breeders. And so I'm hoping, I wonder if this would ever get traction in Wisconsin. I know a lot of people, we get a lot of rescues from the South in Wisconsin, because I think there's no kill shelters here, right?
I don't think so. Yeah. Not anymore.
That's where Cliff's from. Big Cliff's from Texas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Barkley was from Tennessee.
There you go. So I think that is, I'm in favor of this New York new rule.
If puppy mills were not as horrific as they are, but they are, and for people who aren't familiar with them, all you can just Google and see some pretty horrific conditions that these animals have been raised in. So
yeah, moving on to some Wisconsin news. I know, was this how we started last week, or was this 2 weeks ago that we discussed that the chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party was not paid? And my shock about that. Well, since we were out last week, the Republican Party of Wisconsin met. They have both voted in a new chairperson, and also they voted to pay this person. But I just wanted to quickly talk about it, because I thought the Cap Times out of Madison had an interesting op-ed about this person. So it's Brian Schimming, who's been very involved.
He's been around a long time.
So this is the first time, because I'm less savvy about the people who are kind of behind the scenes in the Republican Party. But he has 30 years of experience in grassroots organizing throughout Wisconsin, and he's been involved in multiple Republican campaigns. I think he most recently worked on Ron Johnson's campaign. And he also has worked in state government. But I thought this was interesting from the Cap Times, and their editorial board kind of wrote a hopeful op-ed about him being named the chairman, because, you know, they referenced in the op-ed how on statewide elections, Republicans have not done super well in the last couple cycles. And so this is what they said that I just thought was interesting. So Schimming is well-known within the Wisconsin Republican Party and within the broader political circles of the state. He is well-regarded even by rivals and foes because he has a reputation as a knowledgeable and engaged political figure who enjoys honest debate. Perhaps we are doing Schimming no favors by suggesting, as a new newspaper that so frequently disagrees with today's Republicans, that his selection to serve as state GOP chair would be a hopeful development for Wisconsin politics. But we would like to entertain this prospect. Schimming is a product of the Thompson-era Republican Party, which at its best erred on the side of positive appeals as opposed to cutthroat strategies that have tended to characterize recent Republican campaigns. We don't for a moment expect that we will agree on those appeals, but we believe that a robust clash of ideas could give Wisconsin a healthier politics. Brian Schimming surely understands this reality, and we hope that he will convince his party to act upon it. So that's not hard breaking news, but as far as a paper that is seeing the scope of what the Republican Party has and how it's changed since Tommy Thompson was governor in this state, casting wishful sentiments that maybe he would look at the midterms and 2020 and potentially think maybe the extremist attitudes for the Wisconsin Republican Party isn't working and maybe we should work together more. I don't know. Maybe.
One can hope.
Similarly, last week, the Milwaukee County Board has basically kicked the can a little bit more. They approved a policy that could either demolish or renovate the domes.
Oh, well, that's helpful.
So they have until July, so it's still in limbo. But
this breaks my heart.
I know. But it's also one of those things. I have not been to the domes since I moved back to Wisconsin. I will say my sister-in-law and my niece, they go a lot, but I don't know if they're single-handedly keeping it open. But I do agree that it'd be a shame to not figure out a way to keep those because they're so special.
They are special, but I don't see how it's salvageable anymore.
I know.
It has, again, this can has been kicked down the road for decades. And nobody wants, you know, it's like, let's...
Don't we have some rich people who could just come in and like...
Yes, but they're...
This feels like what the oligarchy and the people who like want to fund things that they care about. I feel like there's some kind of rich person in Wisconsin who can come in and just save it, right?
They swoop in and save it. I can only imagine that they're going to have to reimagine it somehow.
Yeah.
Because this model is
the
too
dome.
Old.
Just make it singular.
Well, the dome. I don't hate that.
I don't hate it either.
No, but I think, you know, it just doesn't draw like it used to. It just doesn't. It isn't the unique, you know, fascinating thing anymore. And there's too many other options. I just don't see how it can survive in its current form. They got to do something else.
Yeah. Well,
they got to sex up the dome.
Sex it up.
Grr.
So Wisconsin in the Wild, the newest Miss America.
This is cool.
Is Miss Wisconsin. The nuclear nerd is how she refers to herself. Grace Stanky. I think I'm pronouncing that right. That's how she calls herself on Instagram.
Nuclear nerd.
Nuclear nerd. She's a 20-year-old from Wausau, Wisconsin, and she grew up competing in scholarship-based pageants. And she's an advocate for clean energy sources. And so on Thursday, she was the 95th winner of the Miss America competition.
Wow.
She won $50,000 in a cash scholarship.
Good for her.
She's a senior at UW-Madison and is studying to become a nuclear engineer. And,
as one does.
I think maybe we should try to get her on to explain the nuclear fission fusion breakthrough.
Definitely.
last week. And so, but seriously, I think today I'm going to reach out and see if we can squeeze into her probably very busy schedule now and try to get her on the show because she sounds so smart and this is so cool. And I think it also shows how much the Miss America pageant has changed and evolved from being just a beauty contest into really, it's so focused on scholarships. I think it's so focused on academic prowess and more than just the bikini competition. And so I'm hoping that we can get her on the show because I think
that'd be great.
That'd be really, really fun. And then finally, the Packers are back. The Packers play tonight against the Los Angeles Rams. And I didn't realize, we haven't played it at home in over a month.
Gosh, has it been
that long?
We've
played at home since November 17th.
Wow.
And so we're hoping, I still don't know what the all needs to happen for us to actually potentially go and get into the playoffs, but obviously winning tonight would be part of it. And the good news is the Packers are 8-0 at home in December and January during regular season games under Matt LaFleur. I was supposed to go tonight's game. We had gotten tickets, or we'd gotten our family's tickets to go. And I think I made the smart move of saying, after getting over being very sick, to not go sit in 15-degree weather.
Is it even going to be 15 degrees?
It might be colder because if you haven't heard, there's an Arctic blast coming up this week.
Coming our
across
way.
Across the whole country.
Yeah.
It's the coldest weather of the season. 270 million people in the lower 48 states will experience temperatures of 32 degrees Fahrenheit or below. And I think for us in Wisconsin, it's going to be a lot more below than
it's. I mean, next weekend's going to be brutal. It really is.
God, so it's a good weekend to have the holidays and not have to leave your house.
Exactly.
So I've opted to sacrifice my ticket to a friend, and they will be going up with Mike and his sister, and two of our friends are going with Mike and his sister, and I will be home watching the game at home from the warmth of my couch.
Nice, with Cliffy on your lap.
Now, exactly.
I'm sorry, but I can't. I just think that's yes, good.
Yeah, I think I made the right move. And I said that to Mike this morning. He goes, I think we shouldn't get the December tickets. He goes, don't be such a wuss.
Oh,
so like every year we have to go to one nice game and then one game in December and roll the dice. And I was like, do we really have to? You can just do that.
I think that's a good arrangement for the newly married.
Yeah. Maybe you could take
you
those
can do
games.
That.
I'm not sure.
Be my guest.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we're going to take another break and then set up a little bit more for the January 6th hearings before we cut to that at noon. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Show, tell your friends. We are a growing show on a growing network, so you can always help us out by spreading the word, sharing the podcast on Spotify or Apple, or liking us on social media and sharing our posts. I've been doing a new thing where every day while I sit in the parking lot before I come into the studio, I try to do a quick TikTok on previewing what's coming up on today's show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's fun.
And unscripted, too. I give you a lot of credit for being able to wing that in your car.
And sometimes I flub over my words, but, you know, we do it. So, in 10 minutes, for the last time, it should be the last time, because literally it's being disbanded.
Yes, it's going to be the last time.
It is the end of the January 6th hearings. So for the more than a year, a House Select Committee has been probing the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, and there's been 10 hearings. I didn't realize there was been that many.
Gosh, I didn't think it was 10.
But the lawmakers have presented their findings with more than 1,000 interviews, and they've maintained that former President Trump carried out an effort to overturn the 2020 election, and today the committee is holding its final hearing. So I think, as we said earlier in today's show, the agenda is they're expected to vote on criminal referrals against Trump, including obstruction, insurrection, and conspiracy. It's also expected to make referrals against the former Trump's allies to various authorities, which could include the Justice Department, the House of Ethics Committees, and others. And then also on the to-do list, I guess, is the preview of the committee's 8-chapter report detailing all of their findings, which is set to drop Wednesday.
Okay.
And yes, it will be available for purchase.
They're not... You have to buy it?
You don't have to buy it. You can buy it. So at least 6 book publishers have announced that they're going to be printing the House panel's report on January 6th.
Oh, I would read it.
So do you think that copies of the January 6th report will sell out as fast as Trump's NFTs?
No.
Do you think it would sell out faster if they dangled the chance to win a dinner with Liz Cheney?
Is that a plus? I'm not sure.
Could you believe we didn't get to talk about this? So we're going to take 2 minutes to talk about it now. Everything about Trump's NFT thing last week
is mind blowing.
The fact that there were so many of us who were like, this is the most embarrassing thing I think I've ever seen in my life. And yet simultaneously, it sold out in like a flash and they raised $4.5 million for it. It is the like juxtaposition and conundrum and like mind blowing like everything that is Trump. Right. Because it was like, how would anyone ever be able to do this and not like die of shame? And yet it worked. He knows his audience.
There's no question about it.
So
and so do the advisors around him.
Yes. And so would you buy? So going back, would you buy the 8-chapter report?
Yeah.
Would you really?
I would.
Don't you think it would be really dense?
Yes.
Would you just sit down and read it?
I think that there is so much stuff in there that was not addressed during these hearings.
The aired hearings.
The aired hearings. I have a lot of questions about who coordinated some of these buses, who put up these people, who organized these people, who paid for these busloads of people. There's so much that has never been addressed by the committee to date.
But has been reported on.
Yes. Lots of reporting.
Well, I would love, for anyone listening right now, would you buy this once it gets published? This being the 8-chapter report detailing all of the findings from the January 6th committee. And so I don't even know the different book publishers, but they're going to be printing it.
Interesting.
And so text us whether or not you would spend money and spend time to actually read this. 844-967-2789. I appreciate, this is one of those things that I feel like I would say that I'm going to, and then I would never find the time to actually do it, and it would just sit on my shelf. And had it been 10 years ago, it would have moved all 12 times.
Sure.
I've moved over the last decade. It would have moved house to house and never actually been opened.
That's a good point. I would like to see how it's written. If it's going to be written like a legal brief, then you're right. Then I probably would not wade through it.
Yeah.
I don't know how good the committee's prose is, if they can write it in a way that's not so technical.
I mean, they can barely talk in a way that's not we're going to cut to the broadcast soon,
right.
And I'm going to put it up on C-SPAN so I can watch it and listen to it at the same time. And, you know, they talk. They don't talk like how you and I talk.
That's very true.
So what will be interesting to see is how much this is studied in law schools and different political science, like how this, if that becomes like a first, like a textbook.
To study.
That people will be assigned in classes in the decades to come.
Will it depend upon whether or not the Department of Justice decides to issue charges?
That's a good point.
Because if they go through all of this and they go out with a whimper and no charges are filed.
What was the
point?
You
want to use this as for case law?
You know who definitely will read it?
Joe Zepecki.
And Jim Sintel.
See,
we'll have Jim Sintel read it.
They're printing it for someone,
we
and then he
Jim
can come
Sintel
back.
We'll have Jim Sintel from the Morning Cannolis on the Civic Media. His show's on Saturdays. We'll have him come back in and summarize the whole thing for us. So
exactly.
Then you don't have to read it.
I'm there with you on that.
But what's our countdown, Brian?
We got about 2-3 minutes here.
2-3 minutes, okay.
I mean, left in the show about a minute and a half, but the actual
the hearing that starts.
Minutes,
okay. But so I'm excited to see if there's a big show put on for the ending for the last one. If there's something a big reveal, a big drop, if it's kind of just what she expected to be, and I don't know.
Pyrotechnics might be nice. I'm just saying. I'm just
some
trying
fireworks.
To. Well, just some smoke bombs. Or come on, Liz. You know, Liz Cheney has.
I know. She, God, what do you think's next for her?
It'll be global domination.
Do you think she'll run again, or she'll just do things behind the scenes?
I think she'll do things behind the scenes, where she will be even more powerful. Like Voldemort.
Do you think so?
Who knows? But I don't think she's done.
All right. Well, we will be here on standby for when they take a break. We will also be here if they cut the hearing short, and Joe Zepecki will join us to break down what we heard. Stay tuned. The January 6th hearing is coming up next.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.